Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Hate shopping for pants? You're not alone. Jack Archer's Jet Setter Tech Pants are basically the answer to every guy's closet struggles. With their customizable fit, wrinkle-free fabric sourced from Japan, and all-day comfort, these pants can take you from work to weekend without missing a beat. Seriously, these might be the only pants you'll ever need. Style them with the Jet Setter Tee, Legacy button-down shirt, or the buttery Legacy Polo sweater, and you've got timeless staples to meet your everyday wardrobe needs. Jack Archer is just better. For a limited time, get 15% off using the code GETJACK at jackarcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at jackarcher.com for 15% off your entire order.
Hey, I'm Jetta Camera.
And I'm John Ritchie. We're the guys behind the 94 WIP Morning Show, the place Philly sports fans turn to every morning.
Eagles, Philly, Sixers, Flyers, if it matters in this city, we're talking about it.
We bring real opinions, smart analysis, and yeah, some chaos too.
From breaking news to big name guests, it's all here.
Whether you're tailgating or stuck in traffic, we've got your Philly sports fix.
Follow and listen to the 94 WIP Morning Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and get new episodes every weekday.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Go Birds! What's going on, everybody? And good morning. Today is Tuesday, November 4th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. Hope you all had a great weekend. Hope you all had a great Monday, as it is certainly, or was certainly, a busy Monday for the Eagles. I'll be fully transparent. I had a podcast recorded for this morning, ready to go. We have been on a birthday vacation the past few days, but there were simply too many moves made over the past 2 days, and definitely on Monday, for me not to get some of my thoughts out on them. So I appreciate everyone that has been listening the past few days. Shout out to James and Tucker, stepping in, doing an awesome job with the emergency pods. I was joking to Tucker. It's like a younger, better looking version of me replaced on the pod. So he did an awesome job. And as always, James crushing it, the best podcast partner a guy could ask for. So let's get right into it. And let's talk about some of these moves. But as we always do, let's start with what's on the schedule. Got to keep it, in line with what we normally do. On the schedule for today, the trade deadline up at 4 p.m. Now, I would expect it's going to be a pretty quiet day in terms of players coming in. You know, the Eagles have probably done what they're going to do. Now, of course, by the time you're listening to this, maybe another move was made late night and they've already made another move. But I think of substance, the moves are probably done. The question will be, do the Eagles send any guys out? And we'll talk about that, you know, in a few minutes at the end of this pod. So we'll see. But the trade deadline today at 4 p.m., so we'll see, you know, what else Howie has in terms of outgoing moves. The injury report, the Eagles won't be back on the practice field until Thursday. We'll get a better look at where this team is at from an injury perspective. News, obviously a ton of news with the team acquiring Jalen Phillips and Jair Alexander. But first, the book drive. Shout out to everybody that's made donations. We are well on our way to having an awesome season, a really like big time change season for all the kids that are going to get these books via Treehouse Books. So shout out to everyone that's made a donation. Remember, if you are able to help, you can win a Zach Bond signed football in a really sick custom shirt by Dewani Soraya, the top sports artist in Philly. Really the top artist, but the top sports artist, in my opinion. So check the link out in the podcast description. And if you can, make a donation. Treehouse Books, the nonprofit in North Philly, does awesome work. It's super exciting to partner with them for another year. And you've all been very generous over the past few years. So go ahead, and if you can, make that donation. And you could win a signed Zach Bond football. All right, let's get into the big moves. And the big move on Tuesday was the acquisition of Jalen Phillips. So I was in London when the trade happened. I was actually by, I think it's the London Bridge I was by. I was somewhere else in the morning too. I'm terrible at remembering. My wife is telling me, Bo, I was at Buckingham Palace. Duh, I was at Buckingham Palace. Bad memory by me. It's funny, actually. Shot a selfie talking about why they should trade for Jalen Phillips. You know, had a little idea. You know, just it was someone I thought they could trade for. And 25 minutes later, they make the trade. So good timing by me. But let's talk about Jalen Phillips my thoughts on the trade. You've already heard James and Tucker's thoughts on the trade. Here are some of my thoughts. So a quick recap for those that maybe weren't able to consume any content yesterday. Jalen Phillips is sent to the Eagles for a 2026 third-round pick. Now, it's important to note, the pick is not the Jets pick that the Eagles own, which could end up being the top pick in the first round, or very least in the top pick in the third round, or at the very least, it seems like top five in the third round. So 2026 third-round pick is the Eagles pick, which we're all assuming is going to be pretty late in the third round. So of the two third-round picks, they keep the better pick. So 2026 third-round pick goes to the Dolphins. The Eagles get Jalen Phillips. Now, Jalen Phillips has a base salary in 2025 of $13 million. Since the season's over halfway over, the Eagles would really owe about half of that. Plus, it was reported the Dolphins covered some of that salary. So I would guess they're probably paying $3 or $4 million, somewhere around that. Really not a ton of money, not a ton of cap space. So not much of a financial implication in acquiring Jalen Phillips. Now, he is a free agent at the end of the year, which we'll talk about in a second when it comes to the risks in this deal. But Jalen Phillips, the player. Let's start with him before we start talking about the value they gave up. So Phillips has been good this year. He's 15th in pressures this year among all edges with 32. Just to put that in context, Jalix Hunt has 28. Jalix Hunt been very good this year. Jalen Phillips has been better. He has a 19% win rate on the edge. That would be the best on the Eagles. Again, in context, Jalix Hunt's 8%. So over twice as much as Jalix Hunt. And one thing you hear from Dolphins reporters that they were saying once a trade was made was he was their best defender this year. He's really, really good at getting to the quarterback. He's not great at bringing down the quarterback. He has 3 sacks in 9 games this year. Now, 26 sacks in 55 career games is pretty good, but 3 sacks in 9 games, nothing to write home about. So it seems like he gets there quite a bit, doesn't often bring the quarterback down. Now, that'll still help the Eagles. The Eagles need someone to disrupt the passer, get him off his spot, and he's playing on a more talented defensive line on a more talented team now. So, you know, Jalen Carter, Moro Jomo, Jordan Davis, if they're pressuring up the middle and moving the quarterback, if Phillips is winning consistently and he's in the backfield, I think you could see that sack number go up. So only 3 sacks in 9 games this year. And like I said, 26 and 55 career games, which is a much better number. He has 28 tackles for a loss. So again, he's consistently beating his guy and getting into the backfield. And so whether that's bringing, you know, getting to the quarterback or making plays against the run, he has been in the backfield a lot this year. Also of note, since you're assuming the Eagles are going to be playing some playoff games, he's played 1 career playoff game and he had half a sack. So, you know, he made a play in the 1 career playoff game he made, which is definitely encouraging. Now, So as a player, he's a good player. Gets to the quarterback. The main concern with him is the injuries. He has really, really struggled to stay on the field. Now, he's played all the games this year, but he has missed time over the past few seasons with injuries. He suffered, I believe it was a torn Achilles in 2023. And then in 2024, I believe he tore his ACL and missed time there as well. So he has been off the field, and that's really why he hasn't been the player many people thought he could be. Coming out of UCLA when he was viewed as a very impressive draft pick, he just fell because of injury. Yeah, so 2024, 4 games played, 2023, 8 games played. The first 2 years, he played in 17 games each season, and he had 7 and 8.5 sacks. So the first like 2.5 years, he was playing really well. Then he suffers the injury, and then obviously he struggled to stay on the field since, besides this year, which is noteworthy, a contract year. Now, so that's a concern. A concern with him is the injuries. The positive is he has history with Vic Fangio. In 2023, Vic Fangio was his defensive coordinator, and he had 6.5 sacks in 9 games. So, or 8 games. So obviously that's outstanding production. And as you know, as you saw, the first 2 years he was playing really well. The beginning of the third year, Fangio's coordinator, he's averaging almost a sack a game. That's when he gets hurt. Now the couple good things about Fangio being his coordinator before. One, just the production you see, right? Like, he got a ton of production under Fangio. So Fangio knows how to use him. Two, Fangio is willing to play him. He played 71% of the snaps on defense that year for Fangio. We've seen with Fangio, he can be very selective on who he lets on the field. And if he doesn't like a guy, he just won't play him. So you know that he will play Phillips. And the third really positive about him having experience with Fangio is, in season, when a player is acquired, it's so tough to make an impact that year. We've seen it with guys the Eagles have brought in before, right? Like Golden Tate, you know, all the guys really that they've acquired. Other than Jay Ajayi, almost all of them have struggled to make an impact. So bringing him in with a coordinator that he already knows, I think will help that learning curve and help get him on the field, he'll be on the field, but help him be an impact player quicker, because Fangio knows his strengths and weaknesses. He knows Fangio. Fangio knows how to get the best out of him. So I think that'll help in terms of him having a good impact right away. So overall, just in terms of what he'll bring on the field, he'll play a ton. I think he's already their best edge. I think him and Jalix Hunt will be the top two until Nolan Smith comes back. It'll be interesting to see when Nolan comes back how they use him, because Jalen Phillips has been used exclusively on the left side of the field, or at least played on the left side of his field, of the field, I should say, in his career. Nolan Smith also played exclusively on the left side in his career. So I'm assuming they're going to want them both on the field at the same time, but they both only played on the left, and that's where they've both been at their best. So we'll see how it all shakes out, but I think the top three rotation is very clearly going to be when Nolan comes back. Now, maybe they don't feel great about Nolan coming back, or the player he'll be when he does, and that's why they made this trade, but I think it'll be Phillips, Nolan Smith, and Jalix Hunt, and then we'll see Brandon Graham be that fourth guy. Josh Uche is the fifth guy, and that'll be it. Like, in the playoffs last year, the Fangio only played 3 edges, so, you know, all 5 playing is possible, but I think it's more likely you see him shorten that rotation as opposed to expand that rotation to include Azeez Ojulari and Patrick Johnson. Like, they've probably, their days of playing meaningful snaps for the Eagles are probably over. So I like the player. I think he can make an impact. He clearly gets to the quarterback. I think he steps on the team and is their best edge. So I like it. Now, let's talk about the price tag. They gave up a 3rd-round pick. That's a lot. Like, he's an expiring contract. He is somebody that has suffered big time injuries and has missed time. So you're paying a premium at the deadline for the player, a good player, but there's a lot of risk in there. I saw a lot since the trade was made that he will count towards the comp pick formula. And that's true. He will. But I see a lot of people just being like, so they'll get that 3rd-round pick back. And like, maybe they will. But if he's awesome the rest of the year, A, they're probably re-signing him. And then if that's the case, then fine. You paid a 3rd. He was awesome. Like, that's money well spent. But let's say some of the risks do pop up. He doesn't have an impact like people thought, like people think he can, including me. And he doesn't have an impact like other players have that they've acquired at the deadline. So if that happens, he's probably not getting the contract that gets him a 3rd-round pick. Let's say he's injured, which he has ended each of the last 2 seasons injured. Then he's not getting a contract that makes him worthy of a 3rd-round pick. Josh Sweat got a 4-year, $76 million contract. Now, he was older, but he also had been healthy more, which is crazy to say about him compared to another player, and had been more productive. the Eagles got a projected fourth round pick for him. So you're talking about, let's say everything works out for Phillips. Milton Williams got them a third, and he was the highest paid player in free agency. So let's say you get a four for Jalen Phillips. That's at the end of the fourth round, right? So you go from basically being end of the third to end of the fourth. You drop down a round to get the player. Not the end of the world, but like the risk is you're giving up a premium asset for a player who has injury concern. So that's the risk. Like you put a big time asset into a player that has been unable to stay on the field. He's done it this year, but it's also a contract year. Now, the upside of him being a free agent, I will say, is he's only 26. So that means he could be a part of this team for years to come. He could be with Jalix Hunt. He could be with Nolan Smith. So I like that aspect of it. So overall with the trade, I like it. It's a trade I would have made, but we all just have to accept and acknowledge they overpaid. Like a third round pick is a premium asset. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter really that they overpaid right now. When you are rich, you can make decisions that are not always financially responsible. But if you continually do them, that's where it's a problem. So the Eagles should not continually trade third round picks for expiring players with an injury history. That would not be a good way to keep the health of the franchise strong. But if you do it every once in a while, and in this year you have a chance to win a Super Bowl, you need the position, so you overpay, right? Like the Eagles earned their wealth that they have to spend. They've won a lot of games. They've collected a lot of draft picks, so they have money to blow. And when they needed something, they went out and they overpaid for it to get the best one that they thought that they could. So it is an overpay. Like it definitely is. But if it turns out to be worth it for them, like if it turns out to help them win a Super Bowl, then clearly it'll have been worth risking that overpay. So the risk is the injury. The risk is he could leave. The risk is that it's a premium asset. But I still think it's a trade. It's a trade I probably would have made because of how much he knows Fangio. I think Fangio deserves to get the players he wants. I think Fangio will get the best out of them. So in that way, I think it was a good trade. All right, let's talk about the other acquisition, Jaire Alexander. So this is obviously less of an impact acquisition. He's not played at all this year for the Ravens. He has really struggled the past 2 years. At one point, was a really good player, but didn't play this year. Now, I will say Pro Football Focus had him as a 10th best corner in 2024. That was a limited sample size. He's played less than 400 snaps each of the last two seasons, obviously less than 400 this year. And he was 23rd, according to Pro Football Focus, in 2023. So 10th in 24, 23rd in 23. And then obviously has not played at all for Baltimore. I think there's a couple ways to look at this. One is he's just going to come in as a backup. He has history with Christian Parker. He coached him early on in his career in Green Bay. You basically gave up nothing to get him. And you take a flyer on him. It's like a low risk lottery pick, right? Like Jalen Phillips, you paid a lot to get him, but you're hoping and expecting him to make a big impact. Jaire Alexander is a big name. He's been a great player. And I think it's worth taking a chance that talent on his in his body will can resurface with better coaching, better players around him. But I don't think he's coming in and expecting to start, or they're not expecting him to start. I think they think he could win the job, and I think they think that with Christian Parker, he could be a steal. But I think this is more kind of like the Michael Carter thing, just reshuffling the deck and trying to help the secondary position overall. And they've really done a lot of that since the season got underway in training camp. Jacorian Bennett, Jaire Alexander, Michael Carter, they have been very active in going out and getting new secondary players. So he's not played well, or he's not played this year. Baltimore didn't put him on the field, one of the worst defenses in the league. He's definitely had injury concerns. So expectations for him should be low, but I think a difference between him and acquiring someone that's never played at Jaire Alexander's level is you just don't know if that guy has it in him. Like Jaire Alexander has shown it. The Eagles just have to get him back to it. Now, he might not be able to. It was a few years ago. There's been injuries. He's older, but I like the attempt in trying. But it should not be counted on as a move that will help them. I think it could, but I don't look at the team and go, wow, they're going to be way better because they got Jaire Alexander. The hope is with Jalen Phillips, they're way better because they got Jalen Phillips. With Jaire Alexander, I just don't think there can be that expectation. I think in
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start, Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin, or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Ideal world, they would like him to win the job over Keely Ringo. But I saw Jimmy Kemsky tweet this a Philly Voice, and I think it was a good point. Like, Keely should be happy with these trades. Michael Carter is a nickel corner, right? So that he's not taking Keely snaps. And I don't think they're moving Cooper to the outside. And Jair Alexander both is injury prone and has not been good recently. If you would have told Keely a week ago that they were going to trade for two corners, I think it would have been tough for him to think he'll be starting afterwards. But now he could very well be starting against Green Bay, or Jair Alexander gets a shot against his former team. So Phillips trade, I like. Jair Alexander trade, I like. But obviously the Phillips trade, I think, has way more expectation. Now, the last thing I'll say before we get to the second half of the pod is they have a bit of a roster situation. So I have the roster at 54 without Brandon Graham, Nolan Smith, and Jakorian Bennett back. So they got to get those guys back on the roster, they're going to have to clear some space. AJ Dillon, I think, could go. Patrick Johnson could go. Potentially Byron Young could go. But they will make roster moves, I think, before Thursday's practice or maybe potentially not until before the game next Monday against the Packers. But they have some decisions to make. All right. On the other side, last week I went through and gave a thought on every player on the defensive side of the ball. It was originally going to be the whole pod today, but as you know, things were active, so things had to change. Clearly, there's some context missing in some positions here because at the time I didn't know they were acquiring Jay Alexander or Patrick or Jalen Phillips, but I still think it's an interesting look at a lot of the players on the defense, what they need out of them in the second half, and how they played so far this year. So that'll be on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors. Okay, let's get into the defensive side of the ball. A side of the ball that really kind of like the offense has had their ups and downs, right? Halves where they've really struggled. I wouldn't say I guess the Giants game, they struggled all throughout that game, but they've also made big time plays. The Chiefs game, they win that game because of the defense. The Dallas game, week one, the defense was pretty good, holding Dallas to in the low 20s in points. Obviously, this last Giants game, they were good. So definitely, I think, like a net positive for the defense overall, which is interesting because I think we would all agree the talent on the defense has not really stepped up at most positions the way you wanted it to. But as a net unit, like considering they've played Patrick Mahomes, they've played Baker Mayfield, they've played Matthew Stafford, they've played Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz, like they have done, I think, an overall good job. So let's start with the front of the defense, the defensive line. So the Eagles, prior to this Sunday's game, were ranked 14th in pass rush, according to Pro Football Focus. So I think that feels high to me. But I was saying this to James, like, even though I agree they need to get an edge, and maybe at this point they've gotten an edge, I also think that there's not many games where I'm watching it and I'm going, oh, they're just getting no pressure. Like Vic Fangio said this week that they're impacting the quarterback. And I do think that's true. But they're just not getting sacks and it's coming from different places. So let's get into the different players on the roster. We'll start up front and let's start with Nolan Smith. So Nolan Smith hopefully is going to play against Green Bay this upcoming Monday. If not, I would think he's definitely out on the field against the Lions the following week. But I think with Nolan Smith, like this isn't a report card, but the grade for him would be incomplete. Like if I, you know, Nolan has played in, get this, 27% of the team snaps this season. 27%. Like he's barely been on the field. So when you talk about the season Nolan's had, he hasn't really had a season. Like he's barely played. Now, when he's played in the limited snaps he has, I don't think he's been as good as the Eagles would have hoped. He's been a good physical force, I think. He's been good against the run, but he has a pass rush win rate of 16.7, which is behind Josh Uche and behind the now retired Za'Darius Smith. He is a similar pass rush grade to Azeez Ojulari. Now, Azeez hasn't played a ton. He's played even fewer snaps than Nolan. But 27%, like the guy's barely been out on the field. So in a period right now where there's a lot of talk about acquiring players, like I do think there's an argument to say they're like acquiring Nolan Smith because he's barely played. And now in theory, he'll be out on the field way more. Now, the question will be how much more can he be out on the field? This tricep injury that he's dealing with, it's now close to a year since he suffered it, right? He suffered it at the beginning of February and it's November. So it's, you know, I think like in football terms, I can see why you would say that's not quite a year, but in real life terms, it's almost a year, right? Like if you were dating somebody, you met him in February and your friend asked you, how long have you been with that person? I think you'd probably say close to a year. So it's been a while and we'll see if he can be an impact player the rest of the year, but they are kind of adding Nolan Smith to the team in a weird way because of how little he's played. Now, a player they're definitely adding is Brandon Graham. So Brandon Graham, we'll see what he has left in him. Now, Vic Fangio said the last time we talked to Vic that Brandon has looked good at practice and that Vic thinks he'll end up being a contributing player this year. And look, we've talked about Brandon Graham ad nauseum to an extent, but it's worth bringing this up. In the final four games last year, before he suffered that tricep injury, he had 11 pressures in the final four games. He had 9 pressures in his first 7. So he was improving. He went from around 1 pressure a game to around 3 pressures a game. So the arrow was pointing up on Brandon. He even got a hurry in the Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. Now, everybody got a hurry in the Super Bowl, but he, you know, even made, you know, somewhat of an impact there. So again, I was around Brandon last year. I did not think he was going to retire until he tore that tricep and then the Super Bowl thing happened. So we'll see. Like I've been clear. I want Brandon to have his storybook ending and, you know, maybe he won't get that now, but in terms of playing, like he was a good player last year. So if the Eagles have made a trade or what, like they're adding Nolan Smith and Brandon Graham to this pass rush. And it's a more encouraging pass rush than it was a few weeks ago because Jalix Hunt has been way better. And we saw that this past Sunday or 2 Sundays ago, I guess, when Jalix Hunt had his best game of the season, I thought against the Giants. And Jalix Hunt, I think, like for the first month of the season, we could say had not been having the season that we all hoped. He wasn't meeting the expectations, which granted were very high, but he wasn't meeting them. But now that the 8 games are through, I think he's pretty close to meeting the expectations. He's played 65% of the snaps, so he's on the field quite a bit. He has 15 pressures in his last 3 games, so he's improved as the year has gone on. He had just 13 in the first 5 games. But the total of 28 pressures is 18th in the NFL among edge rushers. So there's an argument when it comes to simply getting after the quarterback that Jalix Hunt has been a top 20 pass rusher in the NFL this year. If you would have said that prior to the season, that Jalix Hunt would be a top 20 edge rusher, I think that would have been like, yeah, that's meeting really high expectations. So if Nolan Smith can come back and be the player that we think he can be, if Brandon Graham is the player he was last year, and Jalix Hunt continues to peak and to, you know, be a top 20 edge rusher, they're really not in that bad of a situation. Now, the other player is obviously Josh Uche, who's gotten, more snaps than most of the edges. He is 39% of the snaps. He is the second most of all the snaps of the edges, so behind Jalix Hunt. That obviously was not the plan. Like going into the year, I don't think they expected Josh Uche to be second on the team in snaps. I think if you would have told the Eagles going into the year, guess the order of snaps for the edges, they would have said Nolan Smith, Jalix Hunt, Azeez Ojulari, Josh Uche. think that now maybe like going into training camp, that's what they would have predicted. Going into the season, they might have known already at that point that Aziz wasn't going to play. But going into the season, I think they would have said, Nolan, Jalix, Uche, and Ojulari. So Uche, because of injuries, played more than Nolan, and because Vic Fangio, as he mentioned, playing Aziz Ojulari, Ojulari has been only on the field for 12% of the snaps. Like, Uche has been on the field three times as much as Ojulari. And I think, I mean, Ojulari got like eight times as much guaranteed money as Uche did. So you could look at that two ways. The first way is Uche has been a surprise, right? Uche has been played better, I think, than his salary indicated. I think he's played better than they probably hoped. Like, I wouldn't say it's a lottery ticket that hit, but it certainly is one of those lottery tickets where you made your money back and then some, right? So Uche is the fourth edge rusher, if he keeps playing this way, I think is a pretty good fourth edge rusher. If Brandon Graham can be the player he was last year, if Nolan can be the player he was the majority of last year, and Jalix Hunt can continue to be the player he was this year, I think that top four is actually pretty decent. Now the question will be, does Aziz play more? My guess is no. Does Patrick Johnson keep playing? My guess is probably no. Now, he is a good special teams player. Ironically, the good stat for him is, you know, he's like most of the year was the only edge that had a sack. And I think it's been a successful year for Patrick Robinson. He's gotten out on the field. He's looked decent when doing it. Feels like in terms of his career so far this year has been a step in the right direction. Now, most of the reasons that the Eagles defensive line, I think, is ranked 13th and is like decent when it comes to, you know, total hurries and stuff like that, is because of the defensive line. And that starts, you know, well, we'll start with the number one guy, but let's start with actually who has been the number one guy. And that's Moro Ojomo. Moro Ojomo is on pace this year for more pressures than Milton Williams had last year. Moro Ojomo has 28 pressures so far through 8 games, 4 sacks. He's a 15% win rate, which is pretty good for a defensive tackle. He's on pace for 60 pressures this year. Milton Williams had 54. So they have replaced Milton Williams with a younger, cheaper version in terms of production. And that's how you keep being a great team. You draft guys late, you hit on them, they end up being productive players, they're barely making anything, and eventually they move on to greener pastures where they get paid way too much in free agency. But Moro Ojomo, like, unbelievable year so far. He's probably been their best defensive lineman overall. In fact, I would say he's definitely been their best defensive lineman overall. And his elite play, elite-ish play, like, or at least very, very good play, has made up for a little bit. The Jalen Carter has not been the Jalen Carter everybody expected. Like, it's been a disappointing first 8 games for Jalen Carter. That doesn't mean that he's been bad. He just hasn't been like defensive player of the year candidate Jalen Carter. 23 pressures so far this year, which again puts into perspective, like, it puts into perspective that he's not been much off of Moro Ojomo, but still, 23 is not what you expected. He had 75 last year, so he's on pace for 57. That's a major, major drop off. That's, you know, almost 20 fewer pressures last year. That's like roughly 2 a game, roughly. It's maybe more like, you know, a little under 1.5 a game. But he's just not been the guy that they hoped. He got thrown out of the first game. He suffered from injuries. I think it took him time to get in football shape, what the coaching staff was honest about. Like, the best thing they can get at the deadline, unless you're listening to this and they've already acquired Myles Garrett, is Jalen Carter being the Jalen Carter of last year. If they get the Nolan Smith of last year, if they get the Brandon Graham of last year, and they get the Jalen Carter of last year, and the other players keep up their level of play, things will change quickly. Now, that's a lot of if, right? If they get this, if they get this, if they get this. And that's not a good situation to be in. But I think that there is talent on the roster. They just need the talent to play up to their potential. Now, one player who's definitely having a good year and a way better year than he did last year is Jordan Davis. Jordan Davis has 12 quarterback pressures so far this year. He had 15 all of last year, and he has 2 in each of the last 3 games. So totaling 6, 2 times 3, 6. There's some math for you guys. And he's just, you know, he's probably, yeah, he's been everything they could have hoped and more. Like, ultimately, when they drafted Jordan Davis where they did with the 13th overall pick, they needed him to be a pass rusher. They absolutely had to have him be a guy they could put on the field on third down and a guy that impacts your quarterback. And he's becoming that. He's going to total, I mean, barring an injury, he might double the amount of pressures he had last year. So really good year for Jordan Davis. And, you know, good thing they picked up that fifth year option on him, because he, as a free agent, he'd make cash. And I think he probably still will get a new contract this offseason. But if Jordan Davis keeps it up, if Moro Ojomo keeps it up, and Jalen Carter goes back to the level he can be, like, the talent is there. And maybe I'm looking at it glass half full, and, you know, it's not always a bad way to look at it. I think I often get viewed as being glass half empty, which is ironic because I'm very optimistic in my regular life and I love water. I think that the talent is there. Now, the other two edges are defensive tackles to talk about. Ty Robinson, man, I thought he was going to play so much more. And he still could end up being a very good player. But, like, I compared him to Moro Ojomo. And, again, he's not really played. He's only played 6% of the snaps. Played 2 weeks, week one through four. Is at 32 in the last three games. So he's getting on the field more. But I still have upside for him. I still have hope for him. I still think he has upside, but not the year so far I was expecting out of Ty Robinson. And then Byron Young. Byron Young has played 26% of the snaps, the fourth most snaps among all defensive tackles. So look, the fourth most snaps among defensive tackles, this is not something to, like, get worked up over. I'm just not really sure, like, what he's great at. Like, Jordan Davis is great against the run. Moro Ojomo is great against the pass. Jalen Carter can be great against both. Nolan Smith, great against the run. Brandon Graham, great against the run. Like, what is Byron Young's elite-ish quality or, like, special thing, right? Like, what I always remember G. Cobb telling me when I first started is, to be in the NFL, you have to be great at one thing. And I don't know what Byron Young is great at. Now, he's a fourth defensive tackle, so not the end of the world. But I think that's a spot where next year, you certainly hope Ty Robinson is getting those snaps. And if he's not, then things haven't really gone well for Ty Robinson. All right, let's talk about the linebackers. So we'll do the front seven, the first half of the pod, the back four, the second half of the pod. And it's really an interesting position right now with these linebackers. So we'll start with Zach Bond. You know, last week when I did Go Birds Evenings with Devin, I said that I thought Zach Bond was the team MVP so far this year. I think what he's brought to the defense, the consistency, I think the defense has probably outperformed the offense the first half of the year. I think the defense has probably helped them win more games in some ways than the offense did, although I probably have to think about that a little bit more. Like, Zach Bond has been unbelievable in a year where the offensive linemen are in and off the field, where the, you know, AJ's missed some time, where Saquon hasn't been great, where the edges have been a mess. Zach Bond has played 98% of the snaps. And the only thing I can say for the Eagles is they should thank God for Zach Bond, because his consistency in the middle, his ability to just be an elite linebacker every week, it saved the defense. In 2024, he had a year not many people thought he could duplicate. 151 tackles, 11 tackles for a loss, 3.5 sacks, 5 quarterback hits, 4 pass deflections in 16 games. He is on pace this year for 136 tackles, so a dip in tackles, but the same amount of tackles for a loss with 11, 3 more sacks than last year, 6.5 compared to 3.5, more quarterback hits, 8.5 quarterback hits compared to 5 quarterback hits, and 11 pass deflections compared to 4 last year. So you'll trade, you know, 15 less tackles for 3 more sacks, 3 more quarterback hits, and 5 more, and 7 more pass deflections. Like, he has been everything they could hope. And going forward, he is on the defense, the, like, one constant. Like, Quinion and Cooper, actually, I guess, would also be that, but, you know, we'll also see how Cooper ends up being used. But Zach Bond is, like, the backbone of the defense right now. So they should be really, really thrilled with what they've gotten from him. And for him to be on pace for an arguably better season than last year really speaks to how good he's been. All right, Jahad Campbell, N'Kobe Dean. Let's get into it. So Jahad, the stat for him is his snaps have gone down each of the last 4 weeks. And that's crazy to me when you consider how well he was playing, right? 8 tackles versus the Rams, 11 tackles versus Denver, 7 versus Kansas City. He's all over the field. He has an interception against Tampa. He's a guy that you can feel his presence out there. And his snaps have gone down each of the last 4 weeks in a row. I think his transition to edge has started. He's in the edge room. He's learning the edge position in nickel. And he's doing this despite the fact they have edges coming back. So we'll find out how committed they are to having Jahad Campbell on the field. Because we talked about with the edges. Brandon's going to play. Nolan's going to play. Jalix is going to play, right? Like, those three guys are going to be on the field. And then it's the fourth guy. And, like, is Jahad truly a better edge right now than Josh Uche? Probably not. Is he a better edge right now than Aziz Ojulari? Like, Vic might think so, but I don't know if that's the case. So Jahad and his playing time the second half of the year is going to be fascinating to watch. And part of the reason it's even a question is because of how good N'Kobe Dean has been. N'Kobe, since he's come back, has been way better than I think anybody could have expected. 30 snaps versus a Minnesota, 32 versus the Giants, 6 tackles versus the Giants, 4 stops in his last 2 weeks in terms of like getting up there and stopping a play, right? I thought he could come back this year and play for sure. I thought he would work hard and get there, and he has. I didn't think he'd be the same player he was last year. That's a brutal injury. That's a super, super tough injury to overcome.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
For a guy that already probably wasn't like having elite athleticism, he looks fast out there. He looks decisive out there. He knows what he's looking at. Like, I get it. I wouldn't take N'Kobe Dean off the field either. So it's tough with Jihad because I think the best version of this defense right now is probably with N'Kobe and Zach Bond as their linebackers. But where does that leave Jihad? And that's the question heading into the second half of the year. All right. The other two linebackers, Jeremiah Trotter Jr., just you feel bad for him. He would be a really good linebacker, in my opinion, if he got a chance to play elsewhere. But obviously, he's like low down on the depth chart here. He has been a very good special teams player, second highest percentage of snaps on special teams on the team, but only 11 snaps on defense. Now, special teams matters. He could end up making a play that helps him win a crucial game. But it's got to kill him that he's not really playing on defense. And they're getting good special teams play from their linebackers. Smile Mondon, third highest percentage of special team snaps. So right behind Trotter Jr. there in special team snaps. He's been on the field 7 times on defense. I can't think of a single time he's been on the field, but I guess he has been. I think Smile Mondon Jr. still has a ton of upside. Jeremiah Trotter Jr., I think, is at a point in his career where he would want to be playing. But Smile Mondon's just a rookie. We'll see what his future holds. I think he has great upside, though. He was awesome in training camp, super athletic. And a lot of times you see really good special teams player become really good regular players. And I think Smile Mondon could end up being that. So on the other side, we're going to talk about the secondary. secondary that's ever-changing and a secondary that certainly has a lot of people concerned. So we'll get into that on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors.
State Senator Jennifer Carroll Foy here, asking you to vote for my friend, Ghazala Hashmi, for Lieutenant Governor. She's a lifelong educator who's fought to expand job training. And Ghazala wrote the bill protecting Medicaid from Trump and MAGA extremists. Join me in voting for Ghazala Hashmi for Lieutenant Governor and Democrats up and down the ballot. Paid for by Workers Vote, 212-265-7000. Not authorized by any federal candidate or federal candidates committee. Workers Vote is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Okay, let's talk about the Eagles secondary, a unit we've talked about a lot this year, but now we're going to find out. Like, again, the trade deadline today, maybe they'll add somebody else, but if they don't, they're going into the second half of the year trying to win a Super Bowl with a very unproven secondary. They have a secondary that is built, going to be built around like a rookie safety in Andrew Mukuba, potentially. Kelee Ringo, Adoree Jackson, not, I guess Adoree is not like a young, unproven player, obviously, but he is not like a guy you feel great about. Mac McWilliams, young backup, like Sidney Brown, young backup. Marcus Epps doesn't play a lot. So the secondary is in rough shape, right? It's in rough shape. And they're going to need the front four and the really front seven to be really good to help them. But what is not up for debate is that Quinyon Mitchell is having an awesome year. So let's start talking about each of the players individually here. We'll start with the cornerback. So Quinyon Mitchell, the number 9 rated cornerback according to Pro Football Focus. 0 touchdowns allowed. And what I love about Quinyon's game this year, and it's why at the middle of the season awards, the birdies, as I'm calling them, shout out to Bo and the Ospreys. I don't want to copy Bo. I'm truly not. But God, the birdies is so good. Regardless. All right. He has played 198 snaps on the right, 233 snaps on the left. That is such a step in the right direction for Quinyon Mitchell. Last year, he played every single snap on one side of the field. Now, he's moving all over. He's moving wherever the defense needs him. And he's elite while doing it. The attitude he's brought this year, the level of play. Like, if Zach Bond isn't the MVP of the defense, Quinyon Mitchell is. And the Eagles, you know, me and James talked so much going into the season about how it wouldn't be fair to expect Quinyon to be as good as last year. His job was going to be harder. It's his second year in the league. The league has a year of tape on him. But he's been just as good. And the Eagles can truly feel confident going into a game that they have a number one lockdown corner. And that helps their secondary out in a massive way. Like, we know they're unproven. We just talked about it. But having Quinyon just changes everything. So to be the number 9 ranked corner on Pro Football Focus is impressive. But the stat for me is the 198 on the right and the 223 on the left. Just the versatility he's added to his game has been absolutely crucial. So next player, and we'll see where he plays, is Cooper DeJean, the number 1 ranked corner according to Pro Football Focus. 97% of the snaps. If Zach Bond isn't the backbone of the defense, Cooper DeJean might be. He's in the middle of the field all the time. He covers elite receivers in the slot. He's unbelievable at it. He made that play against Justin Jefferson. Like, Cooper, like Quinyon, has had a year just as good as last year. And it really is wild how much of like massive hits those were by Howie. Quinyon and Cooper back-to-back picks is like, I mean, if you were trading for those guys, they might cost 5 first-round picks combined, potentially. Like, it would cost a lot. And so to get them for your own first and your own second, plus whatever they traded to move up, is crazy. And it's worked out great. Now, the obvious question is, where is Cooper going to play? I like Cooper as the nickel. I like him in the middle of the field. I like him being able to tackle. I don't want him getting pulled away from the action like he would if he played on the outside. Like, Quinyon is not in the middle of the field often because he's down the field against the number one receiver. You put Cooper on the other side and you send your two receivers on each side deep, you're taking Quinyon and Cooper out of the action. And then you run the ball. Like, I don't know. I'd be worried about it. So we'll see what they end up doing, but I would keep Cooper at nickel. But of course, the reason they might have to move Cooper, their speculation they might move him, is because of the acquisition of Michael Carter. And the more I think about it since the trade, I do wonder if this is just a piece that can be a backup for the Eagles and that can be a versatile piece as their backup nickel and potentially play him on the outside or at least allow Cooper to go to the outside. Like, if they don't acquire a corner and they go 3 games into the second half of the season and Kelee and Adoree are both terrible, maybe this at least gives them a safety net to put Cooper out there and then put Michael Carter in at nickel. So, you know, the stat for me for Michael Carter would be 46 snaps. He's played 46 snaps on the outside in his career. other than that, he has been inside at nickel. So they know what they're getting. It's not a secret. Maybe they view him as a guy that can play outside, but I think this is about a safety net. It's a safety net in case Keeley and Adoree still struggle. Then you can put Cooper DeJean on the outside. But I don't think the initial plan will be to put Cooper on the outside. I think you're going to keep him inside at the nickel. So if they don't move Cooper and they don't put Michael Carter on the outside, the corner will be either Keeley Ringo or Adoree Jackson. So let's talk about that year, so their year so far. So Keeley Ringo, I think has improved as the year has gone on. Obviously, really struggled in that first Giants game, no question about it. Now, the last time he played the Giants, 3 targets, 0 catches for 0 yards. He allowed a total of 47 yards against the Vikings. And on the year, or I'm sorry, yeah, on like in the past 2 games, I should say, he's allowed a total of 3 catches in 47 coverage snaps. On the year, he's allowed 11 catches and 156 coverage snaps. Adoree Jackson, 17 catches and 123 coverage snaps. So Keeley has outplayed Adoree, in my opinion. I would play Keeley at corner. I know he's struggled against the Giants. I know he's made bonehead mistakes, like not touching that guy that went down against the Giants. But he's just a better athlete than Adoree. I think he's more physical against the run than Adoree. He's faster down the sideline than Adoree. And when Vic talks about him, he says what Keeley needs is to start recognizing things, right? Essentially, I'm paraphrasing. And I think you only do that by playing. So I would keep Keeley out there. Like, again, unless you're going to move Cooper to the outside and put Michael Carter at nickel, I would keep Keeley out at outside corner. And I think he's improved. Now, I get it. Like, you're playing Carson Wentz and Jackson Dart, and the quarterback's going to be much, much tougher these next 2 games. But I feel more confident with Keeley out there Monday night against Green Bay than I do Adoree Jackson. Or at the very least, I'm more intrigued in seeing Keeley out there and seeing what he can do than Adoree. So those would be my stats for Keeley and Adoree. It would be 11 catches and 156 coverage snaps for Keeley and 17 catches and 123 coverage snaps for Adoree. All right, Mac McWilliams. Mac McWilliams, I don't have a stat. Why is that? Because he's not played. So my question is with Mac McWilliams is when will he get his chance? And the acquisition of Michael Carter makes me think Mac McWilliams is not going to get his chance this year, because he could have been the backup nickel and he could have gone in when Adoree went out. But they traded for a new nickel and they've put Keeley in there. So it really feels like Mac McWilliams is not going to get his chance this year. And that's not the end of the world. He's a mid-round rookie. Like, he's got time, right? But it would have been exciting had he won the job. I thought he had a good training camp. He moved his way up the depth chart. But it seems like Mac McWilliams will not be on the field this year. All right, let's talk about the safeties. Reed Blankenship, 97% of the snaps. Now, it's a real hit and miss season so far for Reed. On one hand, you look at him and you go, he's playing next to a rookie safety. The secondary has struggled in the second cornerback spot. They've played tough quarterbacks in Baker and Matthew Stafford and Mahomes and Dak. And he's been out there basically every snap. If you're going to start a rookie safety, you better have confidence in the guy next to you. And Reed has been out there snap after snap. But I don't think it's been a good year for Reed. And it could be because Makuba is playing next to him. Like, it could be because of the competition. But like, I think if you ask most beat writers, they would agree with me. Like, Reed's not been it's not been a great year for Reed. And I also think that in a contract year, that certainly isn't good. So Reed is at 97% of the snaps, but Pro Football Focus has him ranked 62nd out of 67 safeties. Now, the bad news is their other safeties not been that great either. Andrew Makuba currently ranked 58 out of 67 safeties, according to Pro Football Focus. So they have 2 of the worst safeties in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus. I think that's probably a bit harsh. Like, Makuba has been up and down. He's made big time plays. They don't win that Chiefs game if Makuba doesn't make that play. Like, he's had big tackles. I think he's been physical. Makuba, like Reed, in a different way, it's been like a hit or miss year. Like, Makuba's had awesome moments and Makuba's had rookie moments. You just don't expect those type of things from Reed Blankenship. And I don't think he's had major misses. I just don't think Reed has been special. And maybe it's tough to be special when you're starting next to a rookie corner, a rookie safety and a corner that's not great. Obviously not Quinyon or Cooper, but whether it's Keeley or Adoree. But I don't think Reed's had a great year. Now, the reason they stay out there is because their backup safeties are bad. And Sidney Brown has just not not won, obviously not won the job. And like, it's pretty clear he's not going to be a starting safety for this team as long as Vic Fangio is here. He had 48 snaps the first week, 3 weeks of the season. He has 11 snaps the last five. He's playing special teams, which is awesome, but he's ultra aggressive on special teams. He misses tackles all the time. He goes flying by guys. I think Sydney has all the physical upside in the world. He's just got to put it together, you know, like the X's and O's of it. And it's going to be hard to do when you're not playing, but it just doesn't seem like he's going to play for Vic Fangio. All right, finally, Marcus Epps, a whopping 2.8% of the snaps on defense. I do think if they were to bench Makuba, he's more likely to take that role than Sydney is. But I don't think they'll bench Makuba. I think they're going to stick with Makuba the rest of the year. And I think their secondary is going to remain Quinyon Cooper, Keeley Reed, and Andrew Makuba, with Michael Carter getting in there, you know, at times. But that'll do it for every player on the defensive side of the ball. Hopefully the Eagles make a move today and it's exciting and we all get to talk about it in an emergency pod. But if not, the Daily Pods will be back tomorrow. I'll have a pod with James talking about the trade deadline or lack thereof action. So we'll get into all that stuff. But as always, I love you guys. If you're listening to this, means the world. You take the time to listen to me talk Eagles, and I would love to talk Eagles with you. So please call in one day so we can talk. So until then, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.